Well, as we turn to the preaching of God's Word, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. This morning we'll be looking specifically at verse 14. But as we begin this morning, I will read this chapter in its entirety. Again, we'll be looking at chapter 3, verse 14, which is found on page 1300 in your pew Bibles. But I'll begin by reading chapter 3, verse 1 through the end of the chapter. Hear now the living word of God. This is 2 Peter chapter 3. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets, the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of his word. So this morning, as we look at this single verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, it's a parallel verse to a verse a few before it in chapter 3, verse 11. Where there, Peter writes, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? He says here in verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. In this verse, we are called to be diligent. as we are waiting for these things, as we are waiting for the end to come, as we are waiting for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are called to be diligent. And as we consider that call to be diligent, it's the same word that is used in verse 14, or verse 15 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Which back in chapter 1 of 2 Peter we read, "And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things." So Peter here is saying that he will be diligent, he will make every effort. It's also the same word that's used in verse 10 of chapter 1. "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." The qualities that he is talking about there are the fruit of our salvation. Again, a call to be diligent. It's the same root word that is used in chapter 3, verse 12, where we're called to wait and hasten this day of God. It's a word that is used to give us a picture of a strong striving for, an energetic striving for something. We are being to be diligent for something. We see it also in verse 5 of chapter 1 as we read, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue." So as we consider these things, the overarching theme of how this word is used, it's a word that can be used, as I have in the title, "zealously wait." As we think of a word that would encapsulate and give us a picture of the various uses of this word, I think "zealous" is a good word. As we consider the word "zealous," it's something that we consider of someone who is emphatic and energetically doing something, who is zealous for something. And it's here that we are called this morning, as we are waiting for the end to come, as we are waiting for the promises of God, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwell, to be revealed and to be made manifest, we are to be zealous for something. Now, this isn't something that is done on our own strength, on our own power. And again, I think it's helpful to go back to the beginning of this second letter of Peter. As those other uses of the word that I mentioned, of Peter calling God's people to make every effort and to diligently do something or zealously do something, it is all in the context of chapter 1, verse 3, where Peter writes, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." So as Peter draws his letter to a close, he's calling the church, he's calling us to zealously pursue being godly and holy, or as he puts it in this verse, to be spotless and blameless and to be found in peace. But this isn't by our own strength. It's not by our own doing. It is again in that context of the divine power of God, the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ has granted us all things pertaining to life and godliness. But still yet there is this call for us to be zealous. And to be zealous to be found spotless and blameless and at peace at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the application that we'll be looking at this morning is a simple one, that as you and I wait for Christ, let us be zealous. As you and I wait for Christ, let us be zealous. And we'll be looking at this application in 3 points. First of all, be zealous. As we wait for Christ, be zealous to be spotless. And as we wait for Christ, be zealous to be blameless. And as we wait for Christ, be zealous to be found in peace. So looking again at chapter 3, verse 14 of 2 Peter. "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and at peace." Now this phrase, "without spot or blemish," they go together. They're two sides of the same coin. And as Peter is using them, he's using them in contrast to the false teachers that he is warning the church against. Concerning these false teachers, back in chapter 2, verse 13, he says of them that these, well, verse 12, first of all, these like irrational animals, creatures of instincts, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. Suffering wrong as the wage of their wrongdoing, they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. And then he says they are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. So Peter here in verse 14 is contrasting what the church is to be, what God's people are to be, with what the false teachers are. They are blots and they are blemishes. We are to be spotless, without spot or without blemish. And it's further a contrast of not being like the false teachers, but being like our true teacher, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, as Peter is talking about this Christ who was hidden from the prophets of old, and they longed to see what would transpire, he was made manifest and he was revealed. But he reminds us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that we were not ransomed. We were not ransomed with silver or gold, these perishable things, but we were ransomed with the precious blood of this Christ, like a lamb without spot or blemish. Now, kids, I want to ask you, do you know what it means when something is ransomed or something that needs to be ransomed or to ransom something? To ransom something means to pay for the freedom of an individual who is in prison or in jail. It's something that is given for someone's freedom, to release them from this jail or prison. And so as we consider the ransom that we are given in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made free from our sin and the corruption of our own sinfulness and wickedness, our enslavement to our own sinful patterns of behavior through the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious and spotless and blameless Lamb of God. We have been made free. This is why when we read through the Old Testament, as God time and time again, he talks about the sacrifices that were to be brought into the temple that the people were to give. They were sacrifices that were to be without spot, without any blemish. And the reason for that is that it was pointing to this perfect Lamb of God, as John the Baptist calls the Lord Jesus Christ, who will take away the sin of the world. We, like Christ, are called to be without spot and without blemish. How can this be? How can we fulfill this calling that Peter calls us to? Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. How? How can we do this? Well, in and of ourselves, it is impossible. But as Peter reminded us in his first letter, we have not been freed with perishable things of silver or gold. We have not brought to the table something of ourselves to earn our freedom, to say to God, I have done such and such that I might be spotless and blameless before you. Peter, in calling us to this and using this language, is reminding us of that precious and spotless and blameless blood of Jesus Christ, through which we have been bought, through which we have been purchased, through which we have been ransomed. If by God's grace we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have faith by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what Peter says of us here is true already. That in the eyes of God, he has declared through the blood of Christ that we are spotless and that we are without blemish before him. This is something that the scriptures refer to often, of speaking of what we already have and possess to a certain degree in Christ, but yet call us to the fulfillment of that. Just because we are these things in Christ, we are called to work out these things and to strive for these things, to be zealous for these things. The only way that we can be spotless, brothers and sisters, is through the grace that God gives us through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the question before you is a question that Peter asks elsewhere, is to make our calling and election sure. It is something that we as God's children must do all the time, asking us, are we in Christ? Do we believe these things? Do we hold fast the confession that was once for all given? Are we spotless through the blood of Jesus Christ? And especially as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, this is a question that we need to be asking ourselves. Are we spotless? Are we in Christ? We must daily ask us ourselves these questions, but in the same breath, remind ourselves and zealously proclaim to ourselves the gospel truth that only through the precious blood of Christ are we made spotless. And so, brothers and sisters, let us zealously pursue being found spotless in Christ. Secondly, looking at the other side of that coin, at the being without blemish, another way that we could translate the word translated blemish here is as blameless. Now, as we consider what it is to be blameless, if you break that word down, it is blameless. It is to be without blame. It is a call to live in such a way that someone can't place a blame upon us. That is what we are called to by this word, to be without blemish. To live in such a way that we are considered blameless. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16. The Apostle Paul has been arrested and he's giving his testimony. He said he's done nothing to incite any type of rebellion or taught against the truths of the Scripture, but he in all things strives for a clear conscience before both God and men. This is what Peter is calling us in our verse this morning. To have a clear conscience before God and men. He says this also in 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, we read, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. It's the same thing that Paul's talking about. In all things, what we are to strive for, what we are to be zealous for, is to live in such a way that we have a clear conscience both before God and men. That we live in such a way that people can't put something of blame upon us. And so we have to ask ourselves. We are called to examine ourselves. Does anyone have something against us? Does a brother or sister have something against us? If that is the case, we are called to seek reconciliation. We're called to go to that brother and sister and seek their forgiveness so that we can come before God with a clear conscience. These are things that we are called to do, as Peter here calls us in verse 14 of chapter 3. We are to be diligent, we are to be zealous in pursuing these things. To be at peace with our brothers and sisters, to have a clear conscience before both God and men, to live in such a way that we are blameless. Now again, We cannot do this on our own strength. And again, even by the very call to be blameless, we are pointed back to the grace that is found only in Jesus Christ. Because we cannot live blamelessly apart from God's grace and apart from His strength. We cannot be blameless. We cannot be without blemish unless we are living in Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, let us, through the grace of God that we have in Jesus Christ, zealously pursue being found blameless in Him. This brings us to our final point, point three. As we wait for Christ, be zealous to be found in peace. Verse 14, you know, as we have it here before us, you know, really the concept of being found at peace is what is most closely connected to Christ's return and coming back and Christ coming. So another way we could read this is, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by Him at peace, without spot or blemish. There's an emphasis here on the peace that we're to be found with. Now, as we consider this concept of peace, of being found at peace when Christ returns, what does this mean? With whom are we to seek peace? Well, as we consider that question, looking back again at 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, we read these words. Looking back actually at verse 20. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now, as we consider these words, and I wrote down the wrong section here. Oh, it's chapter 2. My apologies. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25, we read these words. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. Now, as Peter here, what he's doing is he's quoting from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter, beginning in chapter 52, verse 13, through verse 12 of chapter 53, this is the whole thing that Peter is referencing in that quote. So here now, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. He shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and His form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall He sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of Him, for that which was not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was stricken, cut off out of the land of the living? Stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is what Peter was referencing in that quote from 1 Peter. And it applies to our text this morning in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. As we read in verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." So what is this peace? With whom are we to have peace? When Christ returns, what is the peace that he is to find us enjoying? It is the peace that has been brought to us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The supper that we partake of this morning is a reminder of the means through which God has brought us peace. We are by nature at war with the Almighty God. And the peace that is spoken of by Peter, and you could look at it in some way, like yes, it's on a horizontal level with one another or with other people, but we also know that if we live blamelessly in this life, if we follow the laws of God perfectly, if we follow God's will to the letter, we will still be counted as evil and wicked in the eyes of some. There would still be those, as Peter says, who will slander us, even though we may be following the will of God. So ultimately, the peace that is spoken of by Peter here, that he is calling us to be zealous, to be found at peace when Christ returns, is the peace that God establishes with us. It is a call from Peter to make sure that we are in Christ. And this peace that we have, it can be broken. It's not to be in the sense of how we feel. And this is why we must not base this peace that we have based on some feeling that we have, but instead upon the promises, the sure word and promises of God. Our feelings are fickle. One day we can feel like we are so right with God, we can do anything. And another day, we can feel like he is so far away from us, he doesn't know us or hear us. But in those dark valleys, we must rest surely on the promises that God makes. As I mentioned in our prayer from week to week, giving us assurance and comfort and promise of the promise when we confess our sins to God. That when we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That he has taken our record of debt against us and nailed it to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he has taken our sins far from us as the east is from the west. It is as if they have been tied to a stone and thrown into the depths of the sea. He promises, if we are in Christ, he will not remember our iniquities. He will not bring them against us. For when he looks upon us, he sees not our own wretchedness, but he sees the glorious, spotless, unblemished blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we can freely come before him. That is why we have this great confidence and freedom that as his children, we can come to our Heavenly Father. Because in Christ, we are without spot. And we are without blemish. And in Christ, we have a peace that is established not by our own doing, but by the will and work of God who works according to his own pleasure. Brothers and sisters, that is the foundation that we must have. That is where we stand in Christ. And then so heed the call that Peter lays upon us to then examine ourselves in the light of those promises. Are we bearing the fruit of that faith? Are we living lives that reflect the profession that we make with our mouths? And if we aren't, we should humbly ask God for forgiveness, but not rest on our own strength, not resting on the fruit, but resting on the sure promises that he has given us. It's a call to diligently, to zealously wait for the coming of the Lord, to examine ourselves and to lean and to hold fast to his precious promises. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank you for your work in us. And we pray, Lord, that when Christ returns, that we will be found in him. For only in Christ can we be found spotless, can we be found blameless, can we be found to be at peace with the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. It is in the glorious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.